come into this place. We leave the week outside. We bring our burdens to the Lord this morning. We bring our joys to the Lord this morning. We come into His presence together as a family, as a body, and we call on the Lord. We open our ears to hear from Him. We want to see Him. We want to experience Him. And Psalm 100 says this: "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." The psalmist tells us who we are. Today, if you have forgotten whose you were, he says, "It is He who has made us. We are His. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture." We're coming today to feast on our Savior, who has come and He has rescued us. He has loved us. "For He is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and He is faithful to all generations." Father, this morning, we, Your church, Your kids, the ones whom You love, Your steadfast love endures to our generation. This morning, we, as Your bride, we come to You seeking to give You the praise that You are due. God, we yield ourselves. We yield our spirit to You. We give ourselves to You. Our ears are Yours. Our eyes are Yours. Our breath is Yours. Father, engage with Your children. Speak to us today. God, in the singing, captivate our hearts. Help us to be set free from whatever it is that is dragging us down. God, we want to engage with You, with our words, with our thoughts, with our actions. Receive praise from Your people. God, this is Your time. This is Your time. We need You. We need You. Father, we pray all of this in our brother, the perfect Adam, the sacrificial lamb, the humble suffering servant. In our brother's name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
I tried so hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it, that You'd choose someone like me to carry Your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve, and You take the broken things and raise them to glory. You are my champion, Jesus. Giants fall when You stand undefeated. Every battle You've won, I am who You say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place. place undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. Thank you, Jesus, you conquered it all. Yes, you do. Now I can finally. Oh, now I can finally see it. You're teaching me how to receive it. Let all, so let all the striving cease. Oh, this is my victory. You are my champion. Yes, you are. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. Oh, you've conquered it all this morning, Jesus. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. You conquered it all. Oh, every fear, every sickness, you've conquered it all, Jesus. Oh, we thank you this morning. Oh, we don't have to fight, 'cause you are the champion, Lord. Whatever it is we're going through, you've already conquered it, Jesus. Oh, so we don't have to fear. Let's sing that again. You are my champion. Oh, you are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. You've already conquered it all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. You've conquered it all this morning.
We're going to pray together. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. I would invite all of you to posture yourself for prayer.
And the scripture says you can do this through lifting holy hands. You can do this through kneeling. You can do this through making your chair into an altar. This morning, I want to give us a minute for all of us to pray. And I would invite you to pray with your voice out loud to our God, so that the Lord hears all of our prayers at once. And then I'm going to close us in prayer. So get comfortable, get into the position that you would like. And we, let's pray together out loud to our Lord. You truly are our champion. Our confidence, God, is in you alone. We are not confident in our abilities. We are not confident in our bank statements. We are not confident in our thoughts and hopes and dreams. God, we are confident that we are called up in you, that we have found you, that we know you, that we are in Christ, and there we find our confidence. There we find our hope. There we find our firm foundation. The world may shake, but we are unshaken because we are caught up in you. We are in Christ. God, we thank you for our privileged position that we did nothing to earn. But by your grace alone, we have found favor, and you love us, and you delight in loving us. We are secure for eternity because you have conquered everything for us. God, we praise you for the giants that have fallen around us. We have seen insurmountable troubles. God, we have faced trials on every side, but you, in your kindness, you walked beside us. You won the victory for us. God, the sins that once held us captive, you have dropped that giant. The pains that we have once faced, you have dropped those giants. And God, we recognize, we praise you for being the God that has victory over. You have victory over our present circumstances. God, we look at the past and see what you have brought us through. And we praise you in the present for what you are bringing us through. God, we find ourselves in circumstances that are too big for us, waves that are too big. We seem like, we feel like we are drowning in our own lives. God, we reach up to you. We know where our help comes from. And we're asking for your hand of deliverance to free us from outside and inside danger. You have the power to calm the wind and hush the waves. So God, in our lives, would you keep dropping the giants? Keep bringing healing to the places of our heart that have been broken. God, may your forgiveness of us continually draw us to deep forgiveness and the healing deep inside of our hearts. Father, as a church, we publicly, regularly repent of where we have fallen short of your glory. We repent as a church from being distracted. We repent from having treasures outweigh the treasure that you are. We repent for misplaced worship. We repent, God, of distracted focus in knowing you and spending time with you. Father, we repent of our pride, thinking that we're better than others. Father, we repent of our self-righteousness. We repent of loving ourselves too much. Father, we repent of leading people in the wrong way with the wrong motivation. God, search our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us. Deliver us from those things. God, we want to know you. We want to be like you. We know what you have done to sin. You hung it on a tree. You crucified your Son for our sake, for freedom of sin. So God, we repent. We turn away from the things, the chains that we keep running to. God, lead us, continually lead us into a posture of repentance. God, may the men of this church repent publicly, continually, to their family when they have done wrong. May they lead in repentance. God, let our church lead the way in repentance. And then finally, Lord, we call on you, the only one who can bring true life-changing revival. Revive our church. Revive our homes. Give us a renewal of commitment to you and commitment to what you have done through the work of Jesus. Revive our spirit where we have been dead or complacent. Revive us by your power. Send your spirit on this church. Bless us, Lord. Bless us. Do not withhold any blessing on our families, on our children. God, give us your spirit. Pour your spirit out on us. Use us with boldness to proclaim your message to our city who does not know you. God, bring revival to Charlotte. Bring revival to our neighborhoods. Let us be vessels fit for honorable use, cleansed from our sins, living bold, humble, confident, holy lives. Only you can make this happen. God, position us for your grace and glory. In Christ's name, amen. Stand with us. Let's continue to worship this God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. You're a presence. We've taken taste it and see. Oh, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. We want to be overcome by your presence, Holy Spirit. There's nothing worth more. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord, oh, we've tasted and we've seen. Oh, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, oh, Holy Spirit, oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh, we want to be overcome by you, Holy Spirit. Oh, we invite you, Lord. We invite you, Lord. Sing that out. Let us become. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. We want to be more aware of your presence in our lives, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh, let it not just be words this morning. We want to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
King Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have conquered the rebellion. Not by coming on your white horse right away to wipe us all out, but by coming in human flesh, living with us, suffering with us, serving us, giving us the truth that is our very hope of life, and laying your life down, dying, and rising from the dead to give us your life. You are worthy. You are worthy of all of our time. You are worthy of all of our money. You are worthy of all of our praise. You are worthy of our very lives. And we count all of those things as nothing on the scale opposite the life that is ours in you, that we look forward to in your kingdom and have now as a guarantee. Through your Holy Spirit's presence with us, God, thank you for your presence with us. I need your presence with me. God, fill me with your Spirit. Shape the words that I have to say this morning so that they will help my brothers and sisters, so that they will sharpen me. God, we want to be a people with our lives on the altar of your worship, who acknowledge you on the throne in heaven and in our hearts, and long for your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fill your people with your Spirit, God. Soften our hearts, sharpen our minds, open our eyes and our ears. Speak to us, show us your face, let us know that you are near, and be transformed. In the name of Jesus, Lord of Lords, the Lamb who was slain for our redemption, we pray. Amen. Good morning, Scent Church. Just so you know, if you haven't been here for the last couple weeks, we're in the midst of our core values series. We're reminding ourselves who we are, who we've set out to be. David kicked it off 2 weeks ago. Our name is Scent, because we're sent like Christ to make disciples of Christ. Making disciples is part of our name. It is a priority here. We want to be a people about accomplishing the great commission that our Lord gave us. On that hill in Galilee before his ascension, when he rose from the dead and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. I'm with you always, to the end of the age." Last week, Pastor Stephen pointed our eyes to our core value of gospel centrality. This good news about who Jesus is and what he has done is what makes us who we are. This is our identity, church. And it motivates everything we do. It must shape our lives. The gospel is central. Today we turn our attention to our core value of sacrificial service. Part of what it means for us to be sent like Christ is that we imitate his self-emptying love for God and the world. Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read the first two verses. That's base camp this morning. Lots of other places to go, but base camp. Romans 12, 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul, in the middle of his letter to the church in first century Rome, says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." This is God's word. I have two parts of the word that God has given me for you. I have one point and then one application of that point, but they both have lots of subpoints. The one point I want to make, what I want us to understand together, to see and let it get all the way down to our core, is that faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ produces all-in obedience to Jesus. Paul's making a big ask here. His appeal is that we wouldn't just give some of our time and money and attention and some lip service to King Jesus, but our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's painful to creatively consider what he might mean. Sacrifice is deadly. What are the implications of this, Paul? Our sacrifice is to be holy and acceptable, and it's our spiritual worship. It's how we respond to the good news by praising Jesus and giving him what he's worth, showing the world what he's worth to us. Worth Skype, worship, attributing value. We show that Jesus is worth everything by gladly giving everything for Jesus to each other, to God. So, faith produces all in obedience. The call for us this morning is to trust and obey. Have faith that produces all in obedience. And we need to connect the voltage of the gospel to our obedience, like Paul does. Back in the introduction to his letter to the Romans, chapter 1, Paul says that he's a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. And then he describes that gospel Pastor Stephen brought us here last week. God promised the gospel beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures. It's about his son, who's the son of David, which means he has a right to rule and reign in Israel, according to the flesh. And he was declared to be the son of God, with the right to rule and reign God's kingdom, on God's throne, according to the Holy Spirit, by his resurrection from the dead. This is Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we've received grace and apostleship. There's apostle again. He's an apostle set apart for the gospel, and the apostleship he's received is to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of Jesus' name among all the nations, including the church at Rome in the first century, including the church in Charlotte in the 21st century, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. In Paul's mind, the logical, faithful, natural response to the good news about Jesus is to give it your all. God, I'm yours now. I'm not my own. I'm yours. My life is a living sacrifice. If you were to ask Paul to summarize his gospel for you in a verse, might be Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Two parts. Christ is Lord and God raised him from the dead. The good news about Jesus is that he is the king, the long-awaited king that God promised in the Old Testament to the prophets, that the people of Israel were longing for, that all of humanity has been longing for since we lost our right to rule in the garden by, instead of subduing and ruling the beasts of the earth, letting one of those beasts subdue and rule us and convince us to rebel against the King of Kings. In that moment of darkness, loss of hope, God promised that a seed from the woman would contend with the serpent. The serpent would bruise his heel, but he would bruise his head. We've been waiting for the snake crusher to reclaim the human rule with God over creation. We've been waiting for the offspring of Abraham to bless all the nations of the world. We've been waiting for the son of David to claim the promise God gave that king, that you will have a descendant whose reign will never end and be characterized by justice and peace and blessing. Jesus is king. In Revelation, we anticipate with the Apostle John that he's coming back one day to rule and reign present with us. Not in this sense that we experience now of the already not yet. We know we're in the kingdom of heaven, but we can't see it. What we see and are often influenced by is the kingdoms of this world. But our king is coming. He will return as surely as he rose from the dead. Jesus is king. This is good news because he's a good king. And the other facet of the gospel that is central for Paul, that's vitally important, is the salvation that we have in Jesus. It's not good news for rebels that Jesus is God's king unless he makes a way for us to come into his kingdom and live and not be destroyed by his kingdom as he wipes away all the kingdoms of this world. This is why Jesus came in human form and gave his life and took it up again. The death and resurrection of our Lord were for the forgiveness of his people's sin. Every day, out of a heart of rebellion, we do things that violate God's will. He wants us to honor him, to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I can testify that my heart, soul, mind, and strength are divided. Not only did he die and live again to forgive his people's sins, but to purify us of our sinfulness. Because sin isn't just something we do out here, and then we've got to deal with the consequences of that. That came from in my heart. And God wants his people to be a holy dwelling place for himself. He wants to come live with us. So Christ shed his holy blood to purify us and make us, his people, a holy space for the Holy Spirit to take up residence with us. Jesus' death and resurrection broke the power of spiritual forces of evil that held us captive. He's delivered us from bondage to the powers of darkness. And finally, we'll spend the most time considering how Jesus has rescued his people from death. Jesus has rescued his people from death, not by providing a way around death, but by leading the way through death. Jesus died and lives again, that those who cling to his life, though we die, yet we live. There's this paradox woven throughout the New Testament of the living death of the Christian life. We follow Jesus through death. Jesus told his followers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke record it, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow. It looks like Jesus to follow Jesus. In Romans 6, Paul camps out on this facet of the gospel. By no means shall we continue in sin that grace may abound. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. I'm emphasizing that our deliverance from death is a deliverance through death, so that we can make sense of the picture Paul paints. This obedience of faith, seeing and understanding the gospel. Jesus is King, Jesus is Savior. Our response is to submit to the rule of King Jesus and entrust our very lives to the salvation of Jesus who laid his life down for us. That's how you believe. Paul paints the picture of a living sacrifice. Our lives on the altar dying, Jesus on the throne living and reigning. This is our way out. God did not find a way to preserve your life and give it back to you after death. This life is passing away, and that's good news in Jesus, because he's giving us his life instead. For all the world apart from Christ, death is the day that they're emptied of life. We have this painful tenure on earth. For a little while, it feels like things are going well and we're getting stronger, and then things start to go wrong, and we start to wither away, and we feel our grip loosening. And in the moment of our deaths, that's it. Life's over. We're emptied. Our hearts, which were hardened towards God and becoming harder, are now stone cold. But for those of us who are in Jesus, Jesus entered death and burst out the back. So that for us, the reality is, as the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in our hearts, it plants a new life there that begins to flourish and grow and bear fruit until the day that we die is the day we are finally fully filled with the life of Jesus. We see him and we're like him. This is our hope, Christian. It's desperately important that we not cling to this life and its comforts, that we not cling to our own way, to self-rule, to autonomy. Our hope is that we are hidden with Christ and we live through him, that he has given us his life instead of our own, and so we lay ours down. Jim Elliot articulated this logic well. He's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He put it in beautiful words, and he put it in a beautiful life. If you've read the book or seen the movie, you know Jim Elliot, End of the Spear. He went to a tribe in the Amazon to give them the gospel, and they killed him. He did not see a church planted. He did not see a soul converted. He went and made much of Jesus, and they killed him. And then his wife, his widow, and his son, and some friends went back to that same village, went back to the same tribe who killed their husband and father with the forgiveness of Jesus. Because they weren't clinging to their life and their rights and their way. It's worth giving everything that we can't keep for what God has given us and we can't lose, because Jesus' salvation is so great. This kind of response to the gospel makes sense because of what the good news is. If you believe that Bitcoin is going to be worth $1 million sometime in the next 10 years, you just might empty your 401k and your life savings. You might refinance your house and change your monthly budget so that you can put everything in Bitcoin. That's what faith in Bitcoin looks like. It's not just a mental assent that says, yeah, that's true. Bitcoin's going to be worth $1 million. It's a lifestyle that says, yes, that's true, and it's my hope, and I'm putting everything there. In the same way, the good news about Jesus is not something that we just say, oh yeah, that's true. Jesus is King and Savior. If it's true that Jesus is King and Savior, we're all dying, and the only way through is united to Christ's life. So we put our lives in Jesus' care, and we submit our lives to Jesus' rule. This is the appropriate, natural, faithful response to the gospel. It's the obedience of faith. It is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. Faith produces all-in obedience. So let's talk about what that looks like. How do we trust and obey? Paul gives us a principle in verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How are we going to make a holy and acceptable sacrifice to God? We need a renewed mind that can discern what's God's will, because that's what's good, acceptable, and perfect. We must not be conformed to this world. We're like fish in the ocean with currents going every which way, and most of the fish in this ocean go with the current. But we must not swim in the same direction. We can't set our hearts on the same things. If our life is Christ's life, and nothing can take that away, but we know that the flesh is dying, then we don't cling to ourself, we don't cling to our way, we don't cling to our possessions like the world does. Remember, death is the day they're emptied of life, and it's the day we're filled with life. So we can't go about life the same way. Maybe some of the things we do look similar, but they're not for the same reasons. We have to look at everything through our gospel glasses. Consider every decision, every opportunity, every day of our lives in light of what King Jesus has done to save us out of death into life in his kingdom. And it is an effort of the mind to change our way of thinking. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, but it's an effort of the mind to change our way of thinking so that we don't conform to this world, but can discern what God's will is. Let's explore some of the applications that Paul made for the first century church in Rome. They have some tight applications for us. We just have to acknowledge that they weren't written to us, even though they're for us today. Paul says to the church at Rome, by the grace given to me, I'm just reading more of chapter 12. By the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For, as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, although many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. The Spirit has given the church gifts of grace. Christ has planted parts of his life more strongly in some of us than others, not for our own sake. He hasn't made the teacher a good teacher so that everyone will think highly of him as a good teacher. He's made the teacher a good teacher so that he can bless the body of Christ by performing his function well so the whole functions well. It's not for ourselves, it's for Jesus, for his kingdom. We're learning to live like him. And the Bible calls the church his body. He's in heaven reigning, but his body is here, living, breathing, serving, loving. Just a note for today, for our time, about the gifts of grace. I think it's really unfortunate that the church has a tendency to separate different kinds of gifts into different congregations. You don't have to believe that the charismatic gifts of the Spirit are for today to be a member and be loved and welcome and serve alongside us here at St. Church. Your pastors think they are. Tongues, prophecy, healing. But in a world like ours, those can be uncomfortable to think and talk about. It can be uncomfortable to spend time with brothers and sisters who see the world differently and perceive the presence of God differently. But if the gifts of the Spirit are all for today, and Paul commands us to earnestly desire them, then for us to selfishly gather only with the people who think about life the way we do and perceive the presence of God the way we do because it's comfortable for us, impoverishes the body of Christ. The evangelist is robbed of power to confidently proclaim the powerful name of risen King Jesus when the healers hang out with just the healers and all their sicknesses are cured. But we don't have a story to tell about that because we told that person, that gift's not trustworthy. Make sure you check with the teacher first. It's a wisdom thing, not a rule thing. It's not that it's always a good idea, but if what's holding us apart is this selfish desire to just be with the people who think like us and experience God's presence like us, that is an exaltation of ourself and our kinds of gifts above someone else in their kinds of gifts, who Jesus has brought near to the Father. A little later in Romans, Paul says, don't do anything to put a stumbling block before your brother or sister, even if it's as simple as what you eat. Don't let what you eat destroy the one for whom Christ died. Down to verse 9, Paul says to the church at Rome, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. All that sounds well and good. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil by evil, but overcome evil with good. Oh, sorry. Don't be overcome by evil. I'm thinking of another verse. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is how Jesus overcame evil. He didn't come for the smackdown first. He came to lay his life down first. The call is for our love for each other as Christians to be selfless and motivated by Jesus. Jesus has brought us all together into one family, his own family. We call God Father together. We live under the rule of King Jesus together. What God has made one, let's not tear apart with our selfishness. In our day, it's easy to conform to the world and their quest for vengeance. If someone wrongs us, what rears its ugly head in our hearts is a desire to get back at them. That's not how Jesus lived. That's not how he commanded us to live. That part of us needs to die. The quest to justify ourselves, to vindicate ourselves when we're wronged. Our life is safe in Jesus. Our reputation was never something to be proud of, and Jesus has given us his instead. So we're called not to contend for our rights, not to contend for our reputation, but to contend for the kingdom of Jesus, to show his self-sacrificing love to each other and to the world. It looks very different from the world. I'm not going to read the rest of Romans, but Paul calls the church there to submit to authority out of a heart that wants to put to death the human desire for autonomy and self-rule. This libertarian, you're not the boss of me attitude that's in all of our hearts is not of Christ. God has put human beings in authority. They're supposed to represent his rule so that rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. There have been times in world history and in our history when rulers were a terror to good conduct. That's not what Paul's talking about. He's not telling the citizen of Germany that because Hitler has come to power, you must submit to him and help ship the Jews off to concentration camps. That's not the kind of submission to authority we're talking about. We're talking about killing that piece of us that says, I want to rule myself, and submitting to the authorities that he's put in place if they're ruling even halfway decently. This is not a message for the American slave that they must submit to their master. although the church preached it that way. What a blight on our history. It is a call to put to death that piece of our hearts that says, I want to rule myself, and submit our lives to the rule of Jesus and his ambassadors. The way for us to fulfill the law of God, to morally do what he wants us to do, to act according to his character and nature, is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. We're not to pass judgment on one another. Paul was writing to a church that was about to split in first century Rome over Jewish and Gentile cultural boundaries. The Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ were still eating kosher. They were still circumcising their sons on the eighth day. They were still fasting. They were still observing Sabbath. And the Gentile Christians weren't used to that. The Jewish Christians were beginning to look down on the Gentiles for their lacking observance of the way of the people of God, and the Gentile Christians were beginning to ostracize the Jewish Christians who weren't in a position of power and who were acting weird. And Paul said, don't let what you eat cause a brother to stumble. Don't pass judgment on one another. You all belong to Jesus and will stand before him for judgment, so it's not your place. But Christ laid his life down to bring us near. Lay your lives to bring each other near. Show hospitality. And then, like in chapter 16, this huge block of greetings. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They're Jews who worked with Paul and landed in Rome. They risked their lives for his neck. Necks for his life. And all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks for them. And as you go through the list, there's Greek names, there's Jewish names, there's Roman names, Greek names, Jewish names, back and forth. He's telling them, greet each other, welcome each other, show each other hospitality. Paul wants to bring about the obedience of faith, and in Rome that largely looks like not going your separate ways just because it's culturally difficult to be in the same room. Does that have anything to do with us today, church? My Muslim friends come to me and say, why are there so many denominations? It makes Jesus look bad. I don't have an easy answer for us. The difficult answer is, we must die to ourselves and live in unity with the body of Christ somehow. It's the 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. There's a lot of good things about our country and its history. There's a lot of bad things about our country and its history. Whatever the American dream was, it has become a self-exalting quest, largely fueled by money, to extend our earthly lives and make them comfortable for ourselves. And it is so far from the heart of Christ for his people. It's so far from the heart of Christ for his people. You don't have to be homeless to follow Jesus, even though he was for a while, for his itinerant ministry. But where the world says, I'm going to move to a different city to get the job that pays six figures or more than I've got right now so that I can afford a nicer house in a nicer neighborhood so that my kids can go to a nicer school and I'm comfortable and I'm going to throw a third of my income into retirement savings so that when I'm old, I don't have to work anymore and I don't have to depend on anybody, but in my own strength, I can play for the rest of my life and push off the thought of death as long as possible. The heart that says I'm gonna carry an enormous health insurance policy because there's good reasons to have a health insurance policy. I'm not telling you not to do that, but there's bad reasons to have a health insurance policy. If your reason for that is because you are scared to die, the truth that your life is hid with Christ and your way to life is through death hasn't reached the bedrock of your heart and you're scared to die, and you take that fear to money and say, money, reassure me that everything's going to be okay. You're finding a way in yourself by your own strength, following the course of this world, to let money be your God and reassure you that everything's going to be okay for the future. This American dream is so far from the heart of Christ for his people. We need to die to it. We need to choose where we're going to work as a living sacrifice for the namesake of Jesus and the love of his people. We need to choose where we're going to live, what kind of house we're going to be in, because we consider that building an instrument for the glorification of our Lord and Savior Jesus. We need to consider how we're going to use our time, not along the lines of, how can I be comfortable? How can I have fun? I'm a little stressed. I need some me time. Christians don't need me time. When we're stressed, we need to go to our Father like Jesus did in the mornings. Linger with him. He's our life sustainer. I'm sorry that my message this morning has been so chaotic. God gave me these words. He's given us his word. But I wasn't able to land on a path. My prayer is that the Spirit has shown you what it is you need to hear in order to empower sacrificial service in the likeness of Jesus by seeing and understanding the gospel and letting that faith in Jesus, our Lord and Savior, produce all-in obedience that doesn't cling to life, doesn't cling to possessions, doesn't cling to comfort, doesn't cling to anything this world has to offer, but clings to Jesus alone. Let's trust our Lord and Savior and obey him with wholehearted, glad lives laid down on the altar, Jesus reigning on the throne, obedience of faith. Father, thank you for this time with your people in your word. King Jesus, you are worthy of all glory and honor, power, dominion, authority, and praise, and you will have it forever and ever. We are a people with our eyes on the horizon. You've put a hope in our hearts that looks forward to the day when, we don't love death, but we love you, and when we see you, we'll be like you, so death has no sting. We're not afraid of it anymore. Blessed be your name, King Jesus. You will deliver us from these bodies of death. God, may your Holy Spirit remain on us as we go and enjoy time with family and good food, celebrate the freedoms that you've given us today. Would you help us to invest those freedoms and not let them fester in our possession? We give you our liberty. We're glad that we're more free than we would be under a king politically. We long for your kingdom to come. Fill our hearts with worship, God. Fill our days with worship. Fill our lives with worship. You are worthy. King of kings, Lord of lords, Lamb that was slain. Amen. I forgot. He's got it.
If you would stand, we're going to respond together. As we respond to God's word, this is not a time to rush. So if the Lord, by his grace, through the word today, brought to light a place of needed repentance for you, I would encourage you, do not leave this place without getting forgiveness that he offers you. Where the world has won in your life and heart. Where your obedience, your allegiance has gone to. The Lord is gracious and he is waiting to receive your repentance to give you full forgiveness. He has done it. Go to him. Repent, and then put faith in the one who is able to forgive sin. All right, and some of us today, I know for me, there are places where there should be obedience and there hasn't been. So this morning, as an act of worship, receive from the Lord through His Word where He wants you to obey. What obeying this King looks like. It's a joy to live in this kingdom. It's a joy to have this ruler. We get to obey Him. We get to lay our lives down. We will also, those who are here and are in Christ, who have given up on their life, who have willingly, joyfully followed Jesus and are trusting in Him alone for salvation, both now and forever, we would invite you during this time of response to go receive the cup. There is a table right here in the back of the aisle with a bowl where we have small communion cups. If you're a Christian, we invite you to go worship God by remembering He did it all. He did it all. You receive. His body was broken. His blood was poured out. And we receive that in faith. He's done this. And then also, if you have come today to worship God through giving, we have boxes in the back. Most of us give online. Giving is an act of worship to us. This is defiance of the world. We don't hoard our money. We don't keep our money. We steward everything that God has given us for the proclamation of His gospel. So if you give here, you're giving to good news going out here in Charlotte and around the world through church planting. And then we will sing. We will sing and worship this God as an act of obedience. If you have children over in the other building, go quickly, receive your children, bring them back, worship God with them. All right, let's sing.
I just want You, nothing else, nothing else, no, nothing else will do. I just want You, nothing else, Jesus, nothing else will do. I just want You, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want You, nothing else, no, nothing else, nothing else will do. I'm caught up in Your presence. Oh, I just want to sit here at Your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. No, no, no. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, You don't owe me anything more than anything that You can do. I just want You. It's all we ask for, Lord. And I'm sorry for when I just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I forgot that You're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to You. I'm caught up in Your presence. I'm caught up in your presence. Oh, I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Oh, Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. Oh, Jesus, I just want you. Oh, I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, no. Nothing else will do. Oh, I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, no. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. and you deserve the glory. So day and night, oh, day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Oh, day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise, Jesus. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, you are worthy of it all. Everything, you are worthy of it all. Not just some things, for from you are all things. And to you are all things, and you deserve the glory. And I exalt thee, and I exalt thee. Oh, one more time, I exalt. Oh, I exalt thee with all of our lives. Oh, I exalt thee. Let it be more than words. I exalt thee.
Amen. You could be seated for just a moment. We do exalt the Lord in this place. Thank you, Connie.
Thanks, Josh, for preaching. My name is Pastor David, and it's a joy to get to be one of the pastors here. This is my buddy Judah. We're hanging out, so he's here with me. A couple announcements will be out. First, we started a couple kids' classrooms today, so since COVID, we've only had one kids' classroom, so we graduated today to two, and so we are excited about that, just a little more space for the kids to run around and play and hang out. And so if you're interested in helping serving, it's a lot of fun, and we would love to have you. You can contact Emily, or you can stop by the welcome table, let somebody know if you want to help serve with sent kids. Secondly, with the kids, we're having Vacation Bible School, July 26th through 28th. Just mark that on your calendars. King's Church has allowed us to use, they're letting us use their space. We're going to partner with them for that week, try to reach some people right around their neighborhood. It's going to be a good time. And so more info, more details about that to come, but just keep a lookout for that. And if you have kids fifth grade and under, then mark your date on mark your calendars for that date. Two last things. If you are not involved in a sent community, if it's your first time with us, we're super glad that you're here. If it's your 50th time with us, we're super glad that you're here. But if you're not plugged into a sent community, just want to encourage you to do so. We have sent communities that meet all throughout the area, different places, different times, different days of the week. We encourage our folks to get plugged in geographically to the closest group where you're at. And so would encourage you to do that. Stop by the welcome table, and you can get more information, or you can talk to Pastor Stephen, who prayed this morning and did the welcome. You can talk to him about your Scent community. And then lastly, if you're new with us or if you're not new with us, we have a digital connect card. We'd love for you to fill that out. Your name and email is more than sufficient. It's on the front of our website homepage, or you can stop by the info cart and just scan the QR code there, and we would love to hear from you. Thank you guys for worshiping Jesus with us today. It's been wonderful. I got to hang out with the kids today, but it's been wonderful worshiping Jesus in a variety of different ways. You guys are amazing. Love you. As Jesus, after he rose from the grave and got up from the grave, appeared to many, he appeared to disciples and John and said, as the Father sent me into the world, so I send you into the world. And so as Christ was sent into this world to reach all kinds of people, he now sends us into the world to share the best news in the world with those around us. My friends, live sent. Love you guys. See you soon. Grace and peace.
King of glory, Son of God and Son of